This night into Colossians chapter number two. Thankful to be back in God's house tonight. And remember Sister Pam, if you would, in a very special way in your prayers tonight. Brother Adam said before they left, and for those that don't know, her grandmother passed away in Texas, and the family all went down. They flew down, but they're driving back. But on Thursday before she left, she had her teeth cleaned, and somehow she got an infection in the gums and stuff while she was there and had to go to a dental emergency place last night. But Adam said she's hurting pretty good, and they're driving back. They're in Alabama now, so they still got a good 12 hours or better to get back home. So just lift her up in prayer, if you would, and just pray that God could just take some of the pain away. And just it's a long, straight-through trip all the way from Texas back home is a long way anyway. They're driving straight through. But just pray that God would just make the trip more bearable and help to take the pain away. He can do that. Amen. You know the reason we don't get a lot of help from God? We don't ask for it. Amen. We kind of forget who it is that we're... We talked about this in the men's group the other night. And, God says, have you forgot who I am? Have you forgot who I am? You know, three places, and I never did find it. three times God asked the question in the Bible, is there anything too hard for me? You know, he asked Sarah, Abraham and Sarah, when Sarah laughed, when he said that she was going to have a child, and they were way up in years, and the Bible said that when Sarah heard the Lord telling Abraham that she was going to have a child, she laughed within herself, and nobody knew it but the Lord. Amen. You know, that's why I tell my adult class, we talk a lot, and I've preached about it some. You know, most of our sins never get out of here and here. Amen? Amen? But we don't want to deal with the sins that's in here and here until they get out here. Yes. Amen? If we would learn to deal with them and be reminded that God sees them when they're in here. Right. It becomes a sin when it starts right here and gets to here and comes out to here. Amen? And it's already a sin before it was ever committed. And if we would learn to deal with them before they, while they're still internal, amen, before they get external, we'd see a lot more victory in our spiritual life, amen. And that's kind of the way Sarah was. You know, she laughed and nobody could see her. I don't think anybody could see her, but God knew that she had laughed. And he said, is there anything too hard for me? Amen. You might be an old woman. You might be well past childbearing age, but let me tell you something, there's nothing too hard for me. And at 90 years old, Sarah had a child. Amen. Amen. He asked the Jews in his discourse with Jeremiah in Jeremiah 32. He told Jeremiah, he said, go, your cousin's going to come to you. And he's going to want to sell you a piece of land. And he said, you go ahead and buy that piece of land. Now they're getting ready to go into Babylonian captivity. The enemy's at the door, beating the gates down, getting ready to take them into bondage. It's kind of a foolish thing to buy property when you're going to be carried off into captivity. It is not. But God told him, said, you do this because I'm going to tell you, you're going to come back. You're going to plant in your own vineyards. You're going to harvest from your own fields. And he says, I'm Lord God Almighty. Is there anything too hard for me? And we forget that. Amen. And we forget to take our problems to God when we have God, when we have problems. We forget to talk to God when it seems like everything else is failing. You know, sometimes are the people that we deal with just don't have the answers. But let me tell you, God does. Sometimes people just don't understand. Young people, you can have, well, that's probably even before your all's day now. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Will Smith, amen. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, hey, in his opening thing, he's doing his song when the thing comes on, and he says, parents, the song, name of the song is, you know, parents just don't understand. Maybe sometimes they don't, in your mind. They always do. They've been there. Amen. But let me tell you one who does. It's God. Amen. I know times change and things change, But God never changes, and he always knows. And parents, when you're worried about your children, amen? And those sneaky little boogers are off somewhere doing something. You just don't know where, what, when, and why. Adam's listening up, huh? He's on edge of the... You might not know where they are, but God does. Amen? You might not be able to be there, but God can. Amen? You know, we need to start taking God at his word. Amen? That's the problem. We want to take him on our terms, but we need to take him at his word. Amen? And if we take him at his word, he's got the answer for us, and he's got the help for us, and he can give us peace in our hearts and lives. If you found Colossians chapter number 2, pray for Pam. That was all about praying for Pam. Amen? God knows what she's going through right now. Amen? And just because her teeth are hurting don't mean we can't pray for her. Amen? And just because they're on a miserable trip don't mean God can't make it better. Amen? Pray for Pam and her family as they're traveling. In Colossians chapter number 2, I was going to just read a couple verses, but I want to begin reading at verse number 1. Y'all just remain seated tonight. I know you reverence and you honor the reading of God's word, but you lost an hour's sleep last night, so I'm going to try to make it up to you by letting you sit down here. In verse number 1, it says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And ye have therefore, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Here was my text. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power." And then down in verse number 20 it says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are ye subject to ordinances?" Father, thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we thank you for your hope tonight. We thank you for your encouragement tonight. Lord, we thank you for being you tonight. And God, we know that you know our every need and our every care. And you meet our needs according to your will. We want to praise you for your goodness to us. We want to praise you for your word that helps us and guides us and directs us. Help us, Lord, to use it tonight to your glory and in all that we do to honor you. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Say amen. As we was preaching this morning, we touched on a subject that became more apparent after service. I was here quite a while after service this afternoon with Sister Connie and her husband, and he was talking with me, and he was sharing with me some of the things. He said, basically, until just a few years ago, he said, I was an atheist. He said, I was raised to be able to do basically whatever I wanted to do. He said, 3 and 4 years old, I was out on my own doing whatever I wanted to do, and coming in, I always had a good story to tell Mom when I come back. He said, but I was an atheist, but God began to deal with his heart, but God began to dealing with him, and he told me that he's asked the Lord into his heart, but he's struggling, I think, with his salvation, struggling with that assurance and that confidence, because he never publicly made a profession, and he never publicly told people that he loved Jesus, and he's struggling with his salvation. But some things that he told me as we was talking made me just realize how pertinent how on time God is, because we touched on something that he dealt with this morning. He said as a child, he remembers going to a church, his mother sending him off to church. She never went, he said, but she sent us, like so many people do today. Amen. We're aware of that, and we're familiar with that. He said, but the minister was saying all these things, and he said, it just amazed me that he said it like he really believed that God would do it. And he said, at the end of the service, he said, I wanted to be the first one at the back door so I could ask him this one pertinent question, this one very important question. How do you know that what you say is what God really means? And he said, some woman behind me says, you don't ask him a question like that. And he said a few minutes later, two men grabbed him, one on each side, and drug him out of the church and drug him off of the property and sent him on his way. This is a church. He said a question that maybe a deacon could have took me aside and have answered. A question that maybe a teacher could have took me aside. Over there in John chapter 9, when this blind man came to the Pharisees and he began to tell them the things that Jesus had done. Went and did all that Jesus told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and then go to the Pharisees and the priest, and he went, and they began to argue with him about Jesus' ability. And the Bible said that when he got done asking them, and when he got done challenging them about what had happened in his life, the Bible says how they chided with him and they argued with him. And in verse number 34, and they cast him out. You know, we have an on-time God. I didn't know that man was going to be sitting here this morning that had been cast out of the house of God. Amen. It's a sad state of affairs in our church. It's a sad state of affairs in Christendom when people who have a question, when people who want to know can't find the answers that they want, because we've turned the church into something that Christ never intended for it to be. It's turned into a social club. It's turned into an organization. It's turned into a program. And praise God, it ought to be a place where we come to worship the living Savior. Amen. Jesus, in three separate places, told us to beware. Three times he told his disciples to be aware. And you know what? We need to beware. Amen. We need to beware in our own church that we don't become like a lot of other churches. Let me tell you what, we might not be the biggest church on the block. We might not have the hoppinest band and the hoppinest group of singers and musicians and everything. By the way, we don't pay ours. Amen. They come because they want to worship God. Amen. We might not be considered to be the liveliest place around. But I want to tell you what, I'd rather be here with two or three that want to worship God in spirit and in truth and want to worship him from the heart than with 10,000 that was sitting here and make a show of worshiping Jesus tonight. We live in a world where people are seeking answers. They're seeking assurance. They're seeking hope for their eternal salvation. And the church is no longer meeting their needs. And if the church can't meet the needs, where are they going to go to find the help that they need? Somebody was telling me, I don't know if it's here this morning or something, somebody was asking their kids, whether they were a Catholic or Protestant. Was that somebody here today asked me that? I don't know. I think it was this morning. Somebody was talking about whether they, it was this morning, whether they was, it was Brother Charles, was one of his granddaughters, called him and asked me, are we Catholic or are we Protestant? He said, I put on there Baptist, 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 Baptist. How many of you know the difference between a Protestant and a Baptist? There's a couple of you. How many know the difference between a Catholic and a Protestant? Are you sure? Basically, I want to tell you this. Basically, the Protestant denominations are just a mirror image of the Catholic Church without the priest. Without the Pope. That's what the Episcopals are. They're the Catholic Church without the Pope. That's what the Methodists are. They're a step down from the Episcopals. They still believe in infant baptism. They still believe that you are born into heaven by the sprinkling and the baptism as an infant. That's where most of the Presbyterian and I hate to bust your bubble. Many of these other, the Lutherans. Amen. Wait a Brother Jeff Faggard. How many's never heard Brother Jeff Faggard? Some of y'all here never heard Brother Jeff Faggard? Well, wait till you hear him. Amen. He will truly bless your heart. But he can tell you how the Baptists have been persecuted by the Catholics. The Baptists have been persecuted by the Protestants. Amen. We was never Protestant. We never protested anything. We were always what we were. We were Baptist. They called us Anabaptists because we didn't believe in infant baptism. Amen. But we were always there, and we've always been there. But praise God, today people are so confused and they don't know where to go to find the answers because the church has become a social club. The church has become a civic organization. It's become everything but what God intended for it to be. And Jesus three times tells us to beware because he knew what we was going to deal with. Look in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 15 to 20. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereby by their fruits ye shall know them." He says, beware of false prophets. False means not real or genuine, not true or accurate, especially deliberately untrue, done or said to fool, to deceive someone based on mistaken ideals. False doctrine, false teaching, false preachers are sneaking into our churches and are tearing down the fundamentals of what our faith stands on. They've done tried to destroy the virgin birth. They've tried to destroy the sanctity of salvation. They've tried to diminish the blood. We don't need the blood. They've tried to hide our sins and to get away from our sins. And people are clamoring to them by the grove. And the droves. Jesus said, beware. The Apostle Paul said over in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 11, he said, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire occasion, and wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Beware of false prophets and false teachers. You know, Paul said, "I do what I do. I do what I do. so I don't give occasion to the false teachers. I do what it, you know, and Brother Jim can back me up on this. There's just some things in this church that I need to stay separated from. Amen? Just so nobody can question. I can't tell you how much money, I don't know how much money we take in on a Sunday. I don't know how much, you know how much money I know the church has and what we spend is what Brother Jim tells me when he reads the treasurer's report to the rest of y'all. Amen? But there are preachers that got to have their hand on the bag. Amen? Deceiving and fooling people. And giving people an occasion. I got an issue right now. People coming to me about a local church in the area. And it's the same old story, the same old tune. They're worried that the preacher is taking money because he don't trust nobody with the money. And he got to do everything himself. Praise God. And the money ain't what God called me to deal with. God called me to preach. Amen. Amen. Let Brother Jim take care of the money.
Amen.
Amen. There's a whole lot of things that goes on around here. I make it a point. I don't want to know about it. You know what he called me to do? He called me to preach. He called the deacons to deek. Amen. If the deacons do what they do, the preacher does what he does. The teachers do what they do. Everything falls right into order the way that it should. Amen. And we can worship and we can hold our heads high and we can know that we're doing what we should be doing according to the Word of God. Amen. And we don't give occasion. We don't give occasion to people. We preach the truth. We try to preach the truth. Like I told you this morning, I've always challenged you. If you ever find me not preaching what's in the Word, come to me. Come to me. Because I only want to preach the Word. And if you think I'm not preaching the Word, you come to me. Amen? But when you come to me, don't come with me. I've seen preachers have to deal with, well, Brother so-and-so and Brother so-and-so said. In another church, I had a brother tell me one time, well, what you preached there was wrong because I heard Brother so-and-so say, and I was preaching about David and his sins, and they said, well, Brother so-and-so said that David didn't sin. The Bible said that God said he didn't sin. I said, well, we know that ain't right. We know that he didn't sin. God didn't hold his sin against him. God forgave him of his sin. But there's two occasions that the Bible makes explicit in the fact that David sinned. Amen. Did it not?
Amen.
Amen. You know what they are? They're the sin where he sinned with Bathsheba. Amen. And the sin that he sinned and numbering Israel. And God held him accountable for both of them, but God forgave him for them. Praise God when God forgives you. Amen. Later on in the book, later on in the story, it says he didn't sin. You know why I said he didn't sin? Because God done forgave him. Amen. I'm glad when God sets you free indeed. Amen. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And praise God, I'm glad that he set me free. I'm glad I'm not back under bondage to sin. Every time I turn around, he has set me free. And praise God, I don't need to get saved every other day because I've been set free. I don't care what some of the Baptists say. Praise God, I'm glad that once he saved me, it was enough. And I'm satisfied. I'm secure in that. And I rest in that. Sister Sherry can tell you, I've done been lied on about that too, ain't I? Amen. Sister Sherry was right there. A man got right up in the pulpit and said, we left his church because I didn't believe in eternal security. I left his church because kids wasn't welcome. And if you want to know the truth of it, that's why, and we went to him, told him, said, listen, I was sitting about where Brother Adam is, and a lady was sitting about right here and had a little baby, and I was sitting there listening to this preacher preaching. That baby never made enough noise. I even knew she was there. And he stopped right in the middle of the service and told that lady he needed to take that baby to the nursery. And that's what happened. I'm just going to, so you know, I'm not making up a story. Sister Sherry can back me up on this. Amen. And he told that lady, said, you need to take that kid to the nursery. And you ladies need to tell these women to come in here with these kids. They need to take them kids to the nursery. I just can't preach with them kids in here. And we went to him. Tom said, listen, you know, we're going to move on because, you know, our grandchildren will never be welcome here because my kids ain't just going to come in and leave their kids with somebody they don't know. That was Sunday morning, right after Sunday morning service. Sunday evening, he got up and told the folks we wouldn't be back no more because I didn't believe in eternal security. That's a fact. Amen. Jesus said, beware of men.
That's right.
Amen. Beware of men. You know what men will say? Whatever it takes to make men look good. You know what men will do? Men will twist things around, and they will lie on you. They'll cheat on you. They'll deceive you. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He says, but beware. He said, I'm sending you forth as sheep, in the midst of wolves. Amen. He says, but beware of men. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. And he goes on, beware of men. Friends, you can't have a right relationship with God and try to hold on to the world too. You can't hold on to God's doctrines and God's teachings and get involved with the world. I get calls all the time. I get emails all the time. I don't know if Brother Jim does on my church email about letting these folks come in and show us how to get a hold of all these government grants, and churches are falling for it by the droves, and they're letting the government come into their church, and before long they get dependent on what man has to offer and what man can give them, and pretty soon they've sold out on the Bible because the dollar has more appeal to them. It's what happens. Amen. Joshua said, you can do what you want to do, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Amen.
I get preachers ask me all the time, well, do you belong to this? Are you a part of this? I said, nope. I belong to Jesus, and that's all that matters. Amen. I belong to Jesus, and that's good enough for me. I don't need to be politically correct. I don't need to be socially correct. I don't need to even be civically correct. You know, some people in our local governments, they call me and they think that we should, as a church, we should do this and we should do that. I could really care less what they think.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? I want to be scripturally correct.
Amen.
Amen. And that's where we need to be. It's not a popular stand in this world today. Amen. It's not a popular stand, and they don't want to hear you. I seen a video somebody just posted, a cop arresting a man for standing off on the curb. He wasn't near the building. I don't know if it was abortion clinic or what it was, but he was standing on the street away from the private property, and he wasn't real loud, but he was just preaching. And a cop come up and just arrogantly arrested the man for preaching the word of God. And he looked at another fellow and says, was you preaching too? He said, and they was asking, well, why are you arresting him? You can't do this. Well, yeah, in America we have freedom of speech. I said, you can't do this. You want to go with him? He asked the man, was he preaching too? I'm going to lock him up too. And throw him in the car. I mean, very nasty, very arrogant, and locked him up. You know why? Because it wasn't politically correct. The world don't want to hear us. The world don't want to know what we have to say. You know who else don't want to hear us? The religious crowds. Amen. The church peoples that go to other churches. Well, y'all just think you're the only ones going to heaven. No. I think only the born-again, Bible-believing Christians are going to heaven. Amen. That's what I believe. Amen. I don't know about you. I know Catholics that tell me that they have asked Christ to save them. They didn't, you know, aren't trusting in the baptism, but they still go to Catholic churches. I don't know. I'm not going to judge anybody. Jesus said you can know by the fruit, amen, and you can see some things, but praise God. All I know is this. What we're going to stand on here as long as I'm here is Christ and him crucified, buried, risen again, and the hope of redemption for all mankind. Amen. And the world might not like it. My boss don't like it. He argues with me all the time. Says, well, Dennis, just what would Jesus do? That's why you really don't want me to tell you what Jesus would do. Amen. You really don't want to hear it. Amen. He's just an old burnout hippie left over from the back in the 70s. Amen. Yeah. You better go back to your mama. Amen. See, that don't bother me. Amen. That don't bother me. I don't know why somebody don't want kids in the church. Amen. She blesses my heart like all these little ones, the little bit, the little sister. The ornery one there. I want to call her, was it Haley what?
Harley.
Harley what?
Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn. Did y'all see her dressed up at Easter? Easter, yeah. Okay. Well, it's next holiday coming. Halloween, Harley Quinn. You ought to catch a picture of it. You ought to give a picture to Ernie. We'll put it on the. It was awesome. Amen. I love kids. Amen. I love kids. I love the little babies. I love the teenagers. Amen. I love to have kids around me. And the world says we don't need to be bothered by kids. Well, if you don't believe that a woman has a right to choose, I believe she does have a right to choose. Yeah. She should have made a better choice. Yeah. Amen. She should have made a better choice than having to get put into place to make a choice between whether she wanted to destroy her child or not. Right. Amen. Amen. And that's the difference. If you're not going to love a child that comes into this world, then you could have made a choice before that. Right. Hard, but it's the truth. And we stand on the truth. Amen. Amen. Don't mean we don't love people. We don't know how many people we deal with and how many people we talk to that's been through abortions. But Jesus loves them. And so do we. Amen. But we can't act like it just don't happen. We can't act like it don't matter and just wipe it away because it's politically correct just to agree with it and go on. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. It doesn't line up with my Bible. Don't get quiet on me. It's the truth. The truth will stand when the world's on fire. Amen. We've accepted so many things because we're afraid to speak out because of the world. And Jesus said, beware of men. Beware of men. Beware when men come offering. The world comes offering something to the church. When the world's offering the church something, the church ought to be running the other way. Amen. And look, lastly, in Matthew 16, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus had perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I speak not to you concerning bread. How about that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then they understood how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of the bread. How about the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Leaven is a substance that causes the dough to rise. It's something that's introduced into the dough. And when it's introduced, it has a great effect and makes a big difference. You eat bread that's had leaven put in it and bread that hasn't had leaven put in it, and you understand what the difference is. One's hard and it's just almost impossible to eat, and the other one can be just as fluffy and just as good. It'll make you just want to make your tongue slap your brains out. Amen. It's so good in bread. Amen. But they were talking about the leaven and how the Pharisees' doctrines could have an effect on them. And we got some things that we stand on, some doctrine that we're not going to change on, that we're going to stand on. And we're not going to let some of these strange doctrines that come around, some of these modern interpretations that come around, slip into our church. The Apostle Paul said, a little leaven and leaveneth the whole lump. Amen. I fight continually about different translations from the King James Bible. Some people get offended about it. But I honestly and earnestly believe that the King James Bible is the truest, purest translation of the word that there is. I can take an NIV and I can get somebody saved out of an NIV Bible. I'm not going to argue that. I can take the Dewey Reams Catholic Bible. I can get somebody saved out of a Dewey Reams Catholic Bible. But do I want to try to disciple and teach and lead someone in their spiritual life out of those Bibles? No, because they're fraught with flaws in a lot of places. I can get somebody saved without a Bible. I know enough of the scripture to tell somebody how to get saved. You know, we're not going to compromise. We're not going to change on some things. And we got to beware, because they try to slip it in all the time. We fell for the, and I was sharing this here recently, we fell for the lie that this certain Bible school literature was not going to have any scripture in it, and they would just give you the scripture reference. Remember that, Sister Mary? They were going to give us the scripture reference, and you would use your whatever translation you wanted to teach out of and do it that way. And we wasn't too far, about the second or third night into Bible school, and one of the teachers said, "Ha! Look right here! It's NIV. They lied. They lied. You know why they lied? Because they wanted to get a little bit of leavening in the church. Well, if you'll accept this, you'll accept something else. Well, if you'll accept something else, then pretty soon we can bring another strange doctrine in. We can bring other strange fire in. Amen? You know what happened to Abihu and Nadab, don't you? They offered strange fire before the Lord, and the Lord consumed them. Amen? We got to be careful that we don't let the leavening slip in. We don't let that pollutes the purity of God's word cloud our minds and cloud our doctrine and cloud our teaching. We need to stand clear. When the world's clamoring to it, we need to run away from it. Amen? And that's basically the way it is. Mark, Jesus is addressing the Pharisees. They've accused him of bringing in some strange doctrine or some false teaching. And he answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For the laying aside of the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things do ye. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth father and mother, let him die to death." The young people, did y'all catch that? Amen. Back talking and cursing and raising kingdom mom. You know what mom and dad were supposed to do? They were supposed to drag you down to the priest and tell the priest, "Said, man, we got an unruly child here." And then the whole congregation was supposed to take that kid out and stone him to death. You know why that was? God said that you can put evil out from among you. You know what the penalty was for sin, for most things? It was stoning. Why? So that you could put evil out from among you. You know what we've allowed the doctrine of men to do? They tell us, well, God is love. And you don't agree with this and you don't agree with that. But you accept this and you accept that. We don't accept it. But it is what it is. You know, marriage is between a man and a woman. You know, I don't hate homosexuals. Anybody here hate homosexuals? If you do, you ought to be on the altar.
Amen.
If you do, you ought to be on the altar. You know why? Jesus died for them. And you know what? Their sin is no different than your sin. When God sees sin, God sees sin. God said, well, this one's a liar. That's not so bad. This one's a cheat. That's not so bad. This one over here, they're a thief maybe, and that's not so bad. And over here, we got a homo. Oh, my land's a homosexual. God doesn't do that. God looks at sin, and he sees sin. But you know what the Pharisee said? But ye say, if a man say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, ye shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things you do. That's what happens when we don't adhere to the word of God. That's what happens when we don't get our face in the word of God and study the word of God and know the word of God. And some strange false prophet comes in and he brings some strange leaven in our church and he plants it here. Or we allow literature to come on and pastor, I want to use this to teach this group or that group, and it's got NIV in it, but I promise you, I'll use King James. No, I don't want it in my church.
Amen.
I don't want it in my church. I don't want to support the company that produces it.
Amen.
Amen. Simple as that. Because we allow a little leavening in, and it affects your church. You allow it in your personal life. Jesus is talking to individuals. Individuals make up the church. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. They're going to be teaching you. They're going to be teaching you to go off to Hartford, Connecticut to go to school. All kinds of dumb stuff like that. Beware of them false prophets. Amen. I had to. Amen. Amen. You know, when a real man of God will tell you, there's good schools right here close by. Amen. Don't impress. I'm just teasing. No, I'm not. Amen. But as individuals, Denise, beware of false prophets. Miss Joanne, beware of false prophets. We're men, you know that. You know the bunch we work around. Amen. You got to watch that bunch. Amen. Beware of men. Beware of them people. Beware of them friends. Amen. Beware of who you make friends with. Because it has an adverse effect on your life when they're adverse people. People say, well, I'm going to change them. You don't. Young ladies, you find these reprobates and heathens, no good, worthless, shiftless young men that's in the world, but I'm going to change him. I'm going to change him. You know what happens? They change you. 99.9999999% of the time, they change you.
Right.
Young man, I found this. Oh man, she's sweet. Man, she is a doll. But she's not a Christian. I can change her. Not God change her, but you'll never change her. You're looking for friends. Try to find your Christian friends. They won't be the... Now, let me tell you this. They're not going to be the most popular people at work. Amen?
Amen.
You want to find friends? Find Christian friends. They're not going to be the most popular kids that are in school. Amen. You want to find friends? Find Christian friends. They're not going to be the most popular people in your neighborhood. Everybody, look at that bunch. They think they're better than everybody else. They just always running off to church, and it's church, 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 church. I got a fellow like that right now. I don't want nobody talking to me about religion. They all, y'all think you're better than we are. I said, no, I don't think I'm better than you are. But I know what I have.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus says, beware. Christian, we need to beware. We need to beware of false teachers. You need to study. That's why you need to be in church. You need to know what's true and what's not. Jesus said, beware of men. Mm-hmm. Amen. Beware of the people that you keep company with. Jesus said, beware of the things that creep in to your life. He said, the leaven of the Pharisees. Be careful of what teaching and who you listen to. And I want to say something, and I'll say it plain. I see some of the people in this church posting junk from Joel Osteen. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I see some of the people in this church posting stuff from Joyce Meyer. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I don't think it's anybody that's sitting in here right now, but the ones that needed to hear that are probably ain't going to, but you know, you got to be careful.
Amen.
Of what you're doing. A little leavening. Leaven the whole lump. Be careful what you're letting slip into your heart and slip into your mind and slip into your theology, your doctrinal team. You know, what you're rooted and grounded in. Jesus said, beware. Beware. Pretty soon you have a church that's dragging people out, like Sister Connie's husband, because they want to know how you know. When the Bible says, be ready to give an answer to those that ask about the faith that you have. Beware. Beware. Church, it's easy to let things slip in. Maybe you can look and say, you know, I have let some things slip in that maybe I shouldn't. I listen to Christian radio stations, but when they get offbeat, I don't have a problem turning. Amen. Just because it says Christian don't mean it's right. But you need to know what's right. Beware. Amen. Just because somebody tells you they're a Christian, beware. Amen. Beware. Let's stand our feet tonight. Heads are bowed.